you, Adam. Our scripture today comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, and it continues on in the same day that the women and Peter found the empty tomb. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What were you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. When they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they have indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found him just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them these things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were still going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." They told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a lot to take in, isn't it? As you look at the story and you realize this is the same day and that the women have gone to the tomb and returned. Then Peter and John race to the tomb, and then they come back, and then is seen by Cleopas and the other disciple. What is fascinating to me is how the story compiles on itself, and it kind of overturns any expectation you can have of this being a manufactured story. Now, we talked on Easter Sunday that if you were going to make a statement and you were going to try and to make a credible, believable story in the first century, you don't start your story off with women at the tomb, much less women like Mary Magdalene. You don't tell a story which talks about how foolish the disciples are. You have a thing where John is writing an account of the resurrection story, and he seems to think it's really important that you know that he's the one that Jesus loves, that he's the one who runs faster than Peter, and that he peeks in, but he doesn't go in because he knows that Peter really is the primary disciple. But what I love about this is, as we're going along the road, they mention Cleopas's name. Do you remember all the other times that Cleopas and Jesus have been having these talks? And how Peter is schooling him and bringing him along? And how when James and John talk about being on the right hand and the left hand, Cleopas jumps up and says, "What about me?" No, because this is the only time you ever hear his name. The one and only time Cleopas' name makes the scriptures is right here. You wouldn't take a fringe character and stick him into the story if you were trying to do this. Well, you would take somebody who's been part of the story all along and enrich it by giving them another piece of the puzzle. That's not the way it happens. It adds credibility. When I was in school, I was a chemical engineer. And one of the things that you do is these long, laborious labs. You're waiting for chemicals to set and to do their thing. In my case, to break down wood and to turn it into fiber so you could turn it into paper. And it takes a long time. And you take all these readings and you have a notebook that you put in with it. But you're there for hours and hours. And other things come into your head. Things like you have to remember for another class, things that you have to remember when you're done or later on. And they always told us, go ahead and write it right in the journal, write in the book while you're going. I know it has nothing to do, but as you come to a conclusion, if you come to a discovery and you are going to be giving proof of what happened and how it happened, it adds credibility that your life is right there alongside it. Don't try to sanitize it. Don't try to make it more clear or more concise. Make it authentic. That's what the Bible story is. That's what the disciple story is. It's authentic. You have these blundering disciples who argue who gets to sit on the right and left. You have the main disciple who stays just outside where Jesus is being tortured and says, "May I burn in hell if I even knew the man." These people are really credible. They're really human. And they're really vulnerable. What's interesting is as they're walking along, they're telling Jesus what he should have done. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. We thought he was going to overthrow the Romans. We thought he was going to make everything right. And Jesus says, "Don't you understand? This is the story." And he starts at the beginning of the Bible and he shows how his future, he shows how his destiny is spelled out across Scripture. They still don't recognize him. Until he sits and he breaks the bread. And when he breaks the bread, their eyes are opened. And I submit to you, that's not the first time Cleopas saw Jesus break the bread. But it was the breaking the bread with Jesus again and again that made it clear. That made it obvious. And it's only then that they realize that their hearts burned within them while he was opening the scriptures to them. And this brings me to the salient point of my sermon today. Francis Chan had a wonderful illustration, a simple one-liner that made so much sense to me. He said, many people feel that they've separated from God, that they can't find Jesus, they don't feel Jesus in their lives. And he says, my answer to them is, where did you leave him? Because he didn't wander away from you. You clearly wandered away from him. Where did you leave him? And I think that is what I was trying to say in the children's moment is, to some people, Jesus is a fireman. In case of emergency, call 1-800-JESUS. To some people, Jesus is a prayer partner. But quite often, they go to Jesus in prayer and they say, Jesus, I'd like this and this and this, and I really need help with that, and I really need some strength, and I really need some help. Thank you very much. God bless you. Amen. But did you spend time with Jesus? Did you let him speak to you? I have a friend who's a Catholic priest. His name is John Ricardo. And he said, it took me a while to understand what being a friend means. And much like me, he was talking about, I have a friend that I golf with. I have a friend that I study with. I have a friend that I go to Michigan football games with. He says, but they're not really friends because they are part of another event, another purpose, another reason. If someone is truly your friend, you don't care what you're doing with them. It's just being with them that matters. You're willing to waste time with them just to be with them. They don't have to give you anything. Well, to Cleopas, when Jesus broke the bread, he saw him for who he was. I don't know what it is in your life that allows Jesus to reveal himself to you, but I'm willing to bet it has to do with spending time with him, giving him portion of your life to pour himself into. And the more time you allow him to pour himself into you, the closer your relationship with comes. It doesn't mean that there won't be dry points. It doesn't mean that there won't be dark nights. But the more of himself that he pours into you, the more often he's going to come back to you, whether it's in the breaking of bread or whatever else you might do. So my question to you is, how do you allow Jesus to make himself known? Is there something else you can do? Is there another time that you can give him that he might be present for you? Could you pray with me? Lord, we confess that quite often we feel distant from you. We feel as though that we have lost our connection, lost touch, that you have walked away. And sometimes it's more often us that wanders away. Help us to understand that you're waiting for us to wander back. You're waiting to pour yourself into us. If we will just give you the opportunity. May we give you that opportunity and truly understand what a friend we have in Jesus. And all God's people said. We no longer pass the plate.